Welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. Voting rights in Ohio have been an especially touchy subject since notoriously long lines on Election Day in 2004 drew international attention and criticism. Ever since, Democrats have worked to expand the opportunities to vote by increasing the number of days and by making it easier to register to vote in Ohio. Republicans, who control both the Ohio House and Senate, have responded with a raft of bills this session that roll back early voting days and tighten some voting rules. Coming up, we'll hear from Ohio's Chief Elections Officer, Secretary of State John Husted. Joining us now to talk about the proposed reforms is Jim Siegel. He's a reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Welcome, as always, back to the show, Jim.
Good to be here, Ann.
In general, why are Democrats for expanding voting opportunity, and why are Republicans generally at work to restrict voter options? I know they don't like to necessarily say that, but the ultimate effect is that.
Well, it simply comes down to who comes out to vote early. President Obama in 2012 won the early vote by a huge margin in Ohio. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it was very sizable, probably several times more than he won the actual overall state vote. And so they want to open it up as much as they can because they know that tends to help them, and they also say it's a guiding principle there, so that that elections should be as accessible as possible. Republicans, who obviously are very well aware that they don't do as well in early voting, but also want to make sure that there is some responsibility to be taken when you decide to vote. It's not you don't want to make it completely simple and completely that you don't have to do any work at all, that you have to your vote just doesn't fall out of the sky and into a ballot box. You've got to actually take some initiative, get yourself to a polling place or mail in a ballot. And they tend to have more concerns about fraud at the polling place, which Democrats quickly counter that there has been very, very little of that actually found and prosecuted over the years in Ohio.
Not just Democrats, but John Husted, Secretary of State, who is a Republican, did a study of that, had his directed the 88 county boards of elections to look into that.
Yes, and he found that it was, a minuscule percentage of the total vote. And we're talking like into the thousandth of the percent, which of those who were discovered and forwarded on for prosecution, and even a number of those were there. Sometimes they just are simple mistakes. Someone who mails in a ballot early forgets about it. Particularly, the elderly population sometimes mails in an early ballot, forgets, and then goes to the poll on election day and votes again. Those have come up a few times. So there is there is an occasional legitimate fraud case out there, but by and large, it has not been shown to be any kind of a major issue.
So let's go over some of the bills that are up for a vote. I know one of them has been postponed, but two important bills, one that would cut early voting from 35, is it, to 29 days?
Yes. The House is taking up two bills today, and they're the only two bills on the calendar because they are well aware this is going to take a while. one would reduce early voting by a week, cutting it from 35 days down to usually 29 days. Basically, that day is picked because that's the day after voter registration ends. What this bill does essentially is eliminates what's known as Golden Week, that period of time currently where Ohioans can vote and register on the same day. Elections officials have expressed that they would really like to see that go away. They say it causes some administrative issues for them, and they also argue that first week of voting just isn't very popular, and so it's not going to really hurt things very much. But Democrats are fighting that very hard. They don't see any good reason to get rid of Golden Week. They say they note that other states have same day registration and they don't have problems in those states, that Ohio really hasn't had much of a problem with it since it was implemented a couple years ago. And so Democrats are concerned about the slippery slope, that this is just this, if they get this, then it'll be, the next one will trim it another week and then maybe another week, and they're worried that this would be a continuing trend. And frankly, there is another bill that's actually had a couple hearings that would actually trim it down to 14 days.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about legislation pending in the Ohio House now, and two of the bills will be voted on today with Jim Siegel. He's a reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Okay, another bill would put limits on the state's absentee ballot program. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, currently the counties over the years have had the option of whether or not they want to mail unsolicited absentee ballot applications to people. Now, some of the bigger counties, Franklin County being one of them, has taken advantage of this. They've, you know, whether or not you want to vote by mail or not, they send you an application. I'm sure if you're a voter, you in Franklin County, you've seen it. It arrives and it, you know, lets you know if you want to send it back. You can get a mail-in ballot. What the Republicans are concerned that there's a number of rural counties that can't afford to do that, so they're trying to make it a standardized process across the state, and by doing so, they're basically saying that the Secretary of State is the only one who's allowed to send out the absentee ballot applications. Now, there's the Democrats are raising some issues about this, and that's because two main things. One, it says in the bill that this will only happen if the legislature approves the funding. And that now, as you say, Secretary of State may be coming on later. Now, he has argued that that's not really a big deal because he would need the money anyway, but a lot of folks will argue, you know, it's one thing to say you must mail these out each year to every even number year to all voters. It's another thing to say you must do this, but only if we approve the money. And so the Democrats are worried that Republicans will block funding for that and they just won't be mailed. The other concern is that about postage, they will not be prepaid postage put on these applications, and so and there was an amendment that didn't get in. I thought it was going to, but it never did make it in, that would have actually written on there somewhere that said this is how much postage you need to mail this back. So there's concern that people won't know the exact postage they need, and that'll just hinder folks getting these mailed back in.
Also on that's Senate Bill 216 that we've been talking about. I say that because that's one that's being delayed until maybe next week to fix some language that has been mistakenly put into the bill. But it would also require voters to add date of birth and a current and former address, and also have them check a box instructing the voter to provide those addresses. There have been complaints about that as well.
Yes, that's a provisional ballot bill, which is different than absentee ballot. Provisional ballot is one of those you show up at the polls, they can't tell where you actually live, or you know, they're having a hard time identifying you as a registered voter, so you vote provisionally, and then, you know, within the next 10 days, but actually under that bill it'll be 7, but you have to go in and prove that you in fact voted legally, and then the vote will count. Yeah, there is concern that and even the elections officials who like some parts of this bill, because the bill is designed to make it so that these provisional ballot envelopes will also double as voter registration. So they like that idea. However, they do have some concerns about, you know, particularly this box you have to check on there. They just don't see it as necessary. They just think it's, you know, it could just be another way to trip people up if you don't happen to check this box, on the form, and you get your ballot tossed out. So they've been trying to work that out. There's another problem with the language dealing with whether your driver's license has an updated address or not. Currently, you don't need an updated address on your driver's license if you show it as ID. But the bill, some are reading it that it would actually change that and make it require that it's an updated address. Republicans have said they're going to fix that, but they did delay the bill this morning. They're working on a number of amendments, I think, and it was up for a committee vote, but it'll probably be at least another week.
Joining us now, Carrie Davis. She's the executive director of the League of Women Voters Ohio. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you, Ann.
Let's talk a little bit, Carrie and Jim, about the idea of early voting. In Ohio, how much of a difference does early voting make, Carrie?
It has made a huge difference.
How so?
Well, the big thing is that it makes it easier for voters so that you can go vote whenever it's convenient for you, regardless of, you know, your work schedule, child care needs, things like that. It also has greatly reduced the lines on Election Day. Anyone who was here in 2004 remembers the lines that we had going well past midnight in some counties. We haven't had those same long lines since early voting went into place. It's really reduced the stress on the polls on Election Day.
But as far as that first week, that golden week, the issue of registering to vote at the same time aside, they say that not many people really vote that first week.
what we've seen, and it's hard to track because not all counties collect data on how many people turn out each week, but we seem to have voting happen in bursts. We have a lot of folks that will vote in that week leading up to Election Day, and then we'll have a few that do early in the process that first week. And mainly those are folks who have transportation issues getting to the Board of Elections, and it's convenient for them to be able to register or update their registration at the same time they cast a ballot. But as Jim was mentioning earlier, the big concern is that this is only the first cut of many and that they won't stop with just 1 week.
So it's a slippery slope. Jim, what about that first week? Some voting or boards of election say they can't really afford to just be open for voting for that long of a period.
Yeah, and they argue that it's a diminishing returns. You know, you can, you know, they staff it, and it just doesn't give them the, you know, the bang for the buck, I guess. You know, they don't, they're, you know, I know I've talked to Franklin County Board of Elections officials who say that they just don't get enough people out that first week to really justify the cost. So yeah, that is an argument. And, you know, Republicans also argue that even at 29 days, we'll still have the longest early voting period in the region and probably in the top 10 nationally. So it's but again, like Carrie said, it's the concern is that this is just the beginning, because like I said at the very beginning of the show, you know, Democrats tend to favor early voting because they tend to do better in early voting, but Republicans are in charge. So we'll see where that ultimately ends up.
So voting laws are written by legislatures now. And it can change from era to era, depending on who controls the Ohio General Assembly. There was a plan to put something on a ballot and codify it that way. Carrie, what about that? Now, I know that Attorney General Mike DeWine has said that the language isn't going to meet muster at this point, but it could be changed. But what about letting voters decide what the voting laws should be?
Well, Ann, that's an interesting question, because voters almost had that opportunity back in 2012. The legislature during that session had passed a very large voting bill, House Bill 194, that would have made all kinds of cuts, including early voting. And voter advocates collected ballot petition signatures to put that to a referendum. And the legislature took the unusual move of repealing their own bill before voters had a chance to. So voters almost got to have a say in what our election law should be 2 years ago.
How does Ohio's early voting policies compare to other states, Carrie?
Well, Ohio was actually one of the earlier states to adopt early in-person voting and no-fault absentee voting following the problems we had in 2004 with long lines. And we do have really a good number of days and weeks and opportunities for early voting right now. But what's interesting is that other states right now are expanding early voting, and Ohio's moving in the opposite direction, cutting.
So they may be lagging, but they're expanding, and Ohio's
exactly contract. We're going the opposite way.
Jim?
And I should also note that these huge debates, these massive knockdown, drag-out fights we're seeing at the State House almost every session over election law, a lot of it is because Ohio is such a bellwether state.
Right.
And it's so important to the presidential election. I mean, if we were a state that, hadn't voted for a Democrat, you know, for president in 40 years, I don't think there would be such the battle. But in a situation where you basically let the referees and the players act as the same, which is what happens here. You know, you get to basically approve your own voting laws.
Mm-hmm. Change them every 4 years.
And change them. Yep. Mm-hmm. So this is what you get.
All right. Well, Jim Siegel, have fun today.
Oh yeah, good time.
Okay. Jim Siegel, he's a State House reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. He'll be covering debate today on the House floor on two bills that are pending that deal with Ohio election law. We'll continue the conversation with Carrie Davis of the League of Women Voters Ohio and the Ohio Secretary of State, John Husted. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. Voting rights in Ohio have been an especially touchy subject since notoriously long lines on Election Day 2004 drew international attention and criticism. Ever since, Democrats and Republicans have been monkeying with the rules. Now, with me today in the studio, Ohio Secretary of State John Husted says, I made a mistake, that it wasn't Democrats who worked to expand the opportunities to vote after the 2004 election cycle. And he's with us now to talk about that. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Yeah, I can talk about the history because I was there for in creating
you were
it.
I was the
Speaker of the House when we passed early voting that started 35 days before the election. And we did that as a result of the long lines after the 2004 election. And what we've seen since then is that there have been a number of people that have enjoyed voting early. One out of every three voters in the last presidential election voted early.
During that period.
Mm-hmm. And that contributed to Ohio being one of the states with very short lines on Election Day.
Right.
So this whole process of blending early voting and the conveniences of voting on Election Day. And as I always like to say, nobody in Ohio ever has to stand in line because you can vote without ever leaving your home. We send in presidential and gubernatorial elections the high turnout elections. Because remember, that's why early voting happened, is to prevent the lines at the polls on Election Day by having people vote earlier. And what we've seen is, you know, that's worked. But you don't even, we mail out absentee ballot applications statewide. And you don't even have to leave home to vote. It could hardly be easier than what it is in Ohio.
Let's talk about the issue of fraud in the voting process, which is one of the apparent impetus for much of the reform. Last year, you directed all 88 county boards of elections in Ohio to investigate all claims of voter fraud.
And suppression.
Okay, and suppression in the 2012 election. And what was the bottom line on that when it comes to the fraud that concerns?
Yeah, zero cases of suppression where a voter was denied the opportunity to vote.
Okay.
Everybody who wanted to vote got to vote. And there were 270 cases where there were voter irregularities that merited further investigation. I think we ended up with about 135 referrals to local law enforcement, even a smaller number than that, a much smaller than that, that actually ever went to prosecution. And we also did cross-matches with other states, found 20 voters that had voted in Ohio and in another state. And we also did a review of non-citizen voting. 291 non-citizens were registered in Ohio. 17 non-citizens voted, including one who had been voting here since 1993. So we did all these things. But it's a small group. And this is what I say about voter fraud. It exists. It's rare. People are being held accountable. And we're building a better system every day to make sure that it doesn't happen in the future.
Do you think there will never be voter fraud?
No, I mean, that's like, there's always going to be crime. There's always going to be fraud. And particularly in states where your election, particularly in presidential elections, matters a lot, you're going to have people that are going to want to run close to the rules and sometimes cross over the line. And one of the things that we found I thought was very interesting in the 2013 general election, we had 43 races in the state, from local elections for city council, mayor, school levies, that were decided by one voter tied. So it's not a big widespread issue, but it exists and it could impact some of these really close elections. And my goal is to balance making it easy to vote and hard to cheat. So how do we do that? How do we find that balance where it's easy to vote, hard to cheat, that people have confidence in the integrity of the election system?
When people make mistakes because they're confused, maybe it's because they're elderly, regardless, is that considered fraud?
Well, this is the thing. If you tried to vote more than once, that is not allowed in the state of Ohio, okay?
But
so that's when we turn it over for investigation to determine the facts surrounding it, whether it was indeed the case where someone was confused or if it's somebody that was trying to go around the law.
Right.
And that's what that investigation process is. That's why some of those we referred, either there wasn't enough evidence to prosecute or somebody might have been confused. And so we try to sort through all those and only hold the people that are really trying to go around the system accountable for those mistakes.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest right now is Secretary of State John Husted. You've said you believe the system works well as is, so why change it?
I believe the system works well, and we're working hard to make it better every day.
Let's talk about the okay.
And what I'd like to change about it, and understand, I don't agree with much of what either party's doing in the legislature right now regarding elections. Okay, and honestly, whether it's 35 days or 29 days, you either have 5 weeks to vote without ever leaving your home, or 4 weeks to vote without ever leaving your home. Ohio's going to have an expansive early voting period that will work just fine. Either way. Okay. And so hyperventilating over that issue seems to me distracting from the other important issues that we should be discussing, like online voter registration, something I have been advocating
isn't even
for.
On the, it's not even,
not
on,
even
the
on the
menu.
Radar screen.
Right.
And every time we get distracted by the shiny little objects that people want to distract us by, we lose focus on the things that we really need to do. And that will help in so many ways. It will help reduce the potential for voters illegally getting registered, fraud. It will make it easier for voters to register, which is making it easier to register, easy to vote. And it will save a bunch of money because we can electronically transfer data rather than having to key it in. And that simplifies things, saves money, eliminates mistakes. There's a win in this for everybody. But I just can't seem to get the legislature to focus on this important reform. Instead, we spend all the time on these other things.
Well, let's talk about those shiny objects that they're goofing around with in the Ohio General Assembly. The House could vote as soon as today. Well, they will probably vote today on two important bills, one that would cut the early voting from 35 to 29 days. And you're like, 6 weeks or 5 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is doesn't make that much difference. But some people worry it's a slippery slope.
I understand that. But okay. On the merits of this, you're going to either have 5 weeks or 4 weeks to vote in Ohio, and that's longer than most states, and it's going to work out fine either way.
But they will give you the responsibility of deciding what those days are and what those times are, right, in that bill?
And that's the other compromise we need to get to. The Ohio Association of Elections Officials, that's Democrats and Republicans who run these elections, and they're not just government bureaucrats. Many of them are Democratic Party chairs or Republican Party chairs. They came up with a compromise schedule amongst themselves that I've endorsed, that I've tried to get the legislature to adopt, that would set the entire schedule for days and hours, that we could have a compromise, a bipartisan compromise, and put it all behind us.
And
that they're not acting on.
They're asking you to independently set those times.
Well, they're not asking me to do it, but by not doing it, that's essentially what happens, yes.
And then that could change with every Secretary of State down the road.
It could. And look, I'm happy to do that, but really, we need to come to some bipartisan compromise and set these issues aside so that they're done. We don't have to fight about them every election cycle, that it's in law, and we remove the debate about it.
Another bill would put limits on the state's absentee ballot program, and the language of that, I'm not sure whether it's by not putting something in the bill.
I've unilaterally decided to do this in the past by mailing out absentee ballot applications because it helps, because it's there's two things that I don't want one county doing it and not another county doing it. So that reform is good, that you have uniformity, fairness across the state. We don't want Mary Smith in one county having access to voting opportunities that Mary Smith in another county does not. So treat them all the same. Give them these absentee ballot requests, and they'll have 4 or 5 weeks to vote without ever leaving home.
Before we move on to the funding issue, though, we've talked about this before. All counties are not the same.
All voters are, though.
Not necessarily, depending on where they live.
Why does Mary Smith deserve to have an opportunity to vote that the other Mary Smith doesn't?
Someone in a very remote rural area who doesn't have good transportation?
But everybody is going to have the same opportunity to vote because they can all get an absentee ballot and send it in through the mail.
Okay. So, but then we come to the cost issue. And it has to go back to the General Assembly every time you decide you or whoever is the Secretary of State wants to do this.
Yeah. And see, the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that where do you think I get my money from the beginning?
I know.
I get it from the General Assembly.
But you did it the last time you did it?
It's because I had federal Help America Vote
and
Act money. But that's gone.
After
this election cycle, it's gone. And so the General Assembly is going to have to appropriate this anyway. I don't have any other resources to do it.
It's something you're going to have to put in your budget.
Look, it's a great issue for a Secretary of State because every Secretary of State's going to come in and they're going to put this in their budget, what's the General Assembly going to say? No, we don't want to have people vote early. I don't think so. This is something that they will fund going forward.
A third bill would make it harder for provisional ballots to be counted. How is that? Why is that? What's the provisional ballot problem?
Well,
and what do you think of that?
Without getting into we need to have a consistent system, and we need to have data that we can review so that we actually know who's voting. I have to have something to check it against. Your name, if you're not registered in the voting book and you're filling out a provisional ballot, we need to have enough information about you to qualify your ballot. Federal court rulings in the past have made it confusing about and set different standards. Essentially, if I voted on Saturday through the mail, I would have to put my name, my address, my date of birth, the last four of my Social Security number, or my driver's license number and my signature. That's what we have in the voter database. That's what we bounce it up against. There's no reason the standard on election day for somebody that has not been responsible at updating their voter information should have a lesser standard to vote under than the people who voted 2 days before by mail. We just want them to be the same.
You mentioned about the lack of data, and I think it's something that you mentioned earlier, too, that not all counties track voting patterns. Or maybe this was Jim Siegel or you, Carrie Davis of the League of Women Voters, Ohio. Not all counties track voting patterns during the early voting period. Wouldn't that be helpful to you to know exactly how many people are voting then?
We can find out how many people voted early, but we can't determine whether or not they voted early in person or early by mail quite as easily. But the majority of the people vote early by mail. We know that. It's just the counties getting records from the counties is a hard thing to do because many of them, I mean, we have big sophisticated operations in Franklin County and literally in some rural counties, they're only open 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two people that make up the entire Board of Elections. And they have limited budgets. They have one law enforcement official in the whole county because they can't afford to hire deputies. They're cash strapped. And so we try to only ask them to do the things that they really need to do to make sure that they're adequately upholding the law and the standards, and asking them to have a bunch of, to collect a bunch of data sometimes is a little too much to ask.
Last year, lawmakers approved a bill that makes it easier for your office to remove voter names from the rolls.
Say that again?
To remove voters' names from the rolls.
Made it easier?
Yeah. Is that right?
I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about.
Okay. And Carrie's given... Do you know what I'm talking about, Carrie?
Yeah, this was Senate Bill 200. It was passed late last year in December, and it basically updated Ohio's voter registration database maintenance rules, allowing Ohio to compare the registration rolls against other government databases, basically to help make sure that we've got the most current information on voters.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. We need to have accurate information in our voting rolls that help shorten the lines by making sure we have people registered at their proper precinct and their voting location. And it also helps to if somebody's not legally allowed to be registered to vote in Ohio, they moved out of state. Well, we want to know that. And we want them to remove themselves from the rolls. Understand, we just can't go out and remove somebody from the rolls. What we do is we notify them until they've been, I think the standard is until they've been inactive for two consecutive federal elections. We can't remove them from the rolls. So what we do when they've moved out of state or moved to a different county and we have them registered twice in the state of Ohio is we try to get them to reconcile that, to update their own information. One of the conveniences that we have created is online voter an opportunity for voters to update their addresses online. So you can go to the Secretary of State's website, update your voter address online to make sure you're registered at the proper location so that you don't have to vote a provisional ballot. And all of these things we're doing to modernize the system of elections. When I became Secretary of State, the BMV database and the Secretary of State's database for voter registration, they didn't talk to one another. They were required since the 90s to talk to one another, to work on motor voter and synchronizing all that. They didn't. And we've updated that. We've exchanged data. We now have a nearly complete database with that information. A lot of great upgrades that have occurred to make the system better. And we need to be the best. We're the most important swing state in the country. We should have the best system in the country. But we ought not be distracted by some of the silly things, silly discussions. I should call them silly things, but silly discussions that distract us from the really important issues that we should be undertaking. If they want to work on 5 weeks or 4 weeks, fine, whatever. You guys work that out. But give us online voter registration as some of the tools that we need to
modernize. At least put it on the table
for
discussion. Cutting the number of early voting days means that more people will show up on election day, right? I mean, just statistically, it's going to marginally increase it.
If you believe that 5 weeks and 4 weeks are significantly different on this, I just don't believe that it's going to be statistically significant. And it is true when you're a swing state that during that golden week, we have people who are here working not just on one side or the other, both political parties who have people working in the state that come in and register and vote, and they're really not Ohioans. And we should have a check against that, not just because they're voting in the presidential race, but they're also voting on your local school levies for your local elected officials. We need to build a better system. Eliminating Golden Week will marginally help with that issue. And you can debate whether 4 weeks or 5 weeks is long enough, but I think both of them are fine.
A law passed last year also reduces the number of voting machines that counties must have on hand for election day. And some people are worried that in the next big one, there's going to be another shortage.
Well, I've been one of the national spokespeople for saying, federal government, you created these standards that our voting machines need to meet. You got us addicted to them by the big $3 billion you sent to the states back after the 2004 when you passed HAVA back, I think it was in 2003, 2002. And now what are we going to do? These machines are old. We have to improve them. There needs to be a plan at the national level. But I will be down the road working with all of the counties and the boards of elections to come up with a state plan, hopefully, that will solve these problems. But I don't get to make these decisions because I don't buy the machines. The local counties buy the machines.
It's interesting. Just 10 or 15 years ago, we would all be saying, we have the best voting system in the world. We send people out all over the world to monitor other elections.
And we do have the best voting system in the world for any major
country.
But
the ultimate determinant of that is people's faith in it.
Absolutely. That's why reckless rhetoric about these issues of fraud and suppression are irresponsible, because the system is better now than it's ever been. Is it perfect? No. Or do we work harder every day to make it better? Yes. But it's better now than it's ever been. And we keep making it better every day. And by the rhetoric that people are using, you would think otherwise. But the evidence just doesn't back that up.
Well, Ohio Secretary of State John Husted, thanks for joining us today to talk about it. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And Kerry Davis of the League of Women Voters Ohio will stay with us coming up. Ohio State Senator Nina Turner. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Voting rights in Ohio have been an especially touchy subject since notoriously long lines on Election Day in 2004 drew international attention and criticism. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. We're talking about legislation that's pending in the Ohio House today that's expected to pass and be sent along to the governor that would make changes to voting times and others, voting issues. Joining me now to talk about that and the proposed reforms by Republicans in the Ohio General Assembly is Democrat State Senator Nina Turner of Cleveland. Senator Turner is running to unseat Republican Secretary of State John Husted in the November general election. Welcome to the show, Senator Turner.
Thank you, Ann. It's a pleasure to be with you.
In an effort to forestall the Republicans, I guess, the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus has pushed for a statewide referendum on a proposed constitutional amendment. They've named the Voter Bill of Rights, and it was dealt a blow this week when Attorney General Mike DeWine rejected some of the language. There's still time to make changes, but is there enough time? Does this mean the issue is dead?
I'm hoping not, and I mean, I really applaud the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus, of which I am a member, for the efforts to push for actually enshrining, is really what this Ohio Voter Bill of Rights would do, enshrining the right to vote within the state's constitution so that voters would not have to succumb to the whims of any political party with regards to their ability and their right to vote. There are attorneys looking at that language right now and taking seriously what the AG had to say on this issue to reformat that language and to get back out there to collect the signatures.
Was it anything serious?
I mean, a lot of it had to do with, if I recall, the I forget the two language points that the Attorney General pointed out, but certainly it's something that the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus has to take seriously and to correct it. One issue had to do with whether or not it was in line with what the federal government requires, and I forget what the other ruling that the, or not necessarily ruling, but the other issue that the Attorney General brought up. But certainly the Black Caucus takes seriously what the AG had to say. And it is our job to get out there and make it right and recirculate petitions to get this on the ballot.
It's been very scrappy over there in the Ohio General Assembly regarding this legislation. They started out in the Senate. In a recent Dispatch article, a member of the Ohio House referred to people who use the weekend voting option because that's when they can get a ride after church to cast a ballot. And that lawmaker asked, is that the person we need to cater to when we're making public policy about elections? I wonder what your response is to that.
His statements were outrageous and insensitive. I mean, everybody knows that that was code for African Americans tend to use that Sunday, that souls to the polls, if you will, to really galvanize people to get them out to vote. I mean, you know, and this is African American History Month, excuse me, and it's most appropriate that we're talking about voting rights, as we know the long history of African Americans fighting very hard to have the right to vote in this country, and certainly through the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, opening this up so that all people, all citizens in this country would have those rights that they deserve in our democracy. But for a representative to be so insensitive to the African-American community, knowing that the whole notion of souls to the polls is typically about African-American churches getting together, voting is a communal experience. And so people should have a plethora of options, whether they want to go in person, whether they want to vote absentee in at their homes, or whether they want to go early absentee. They should have those options, but certainly in the African American community in particular, souls to the polls is a big deal. And the fact that he had the gall to say that really exposes what a lot of these voter suppression efforts are designed to do to stop certain groups of people from having the requisite access to the ballot that they need to participate in our great democracy. So it was outrageous what he said. He really owes, an apology to the community, not just African-American community, but I want to say the Ohio voting community for making a statement that was that insensitive.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is State Senator Nina Turner. She is working to unseat Ohio Secretary of State John Husted in November. Also with us, Carrie Davis, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters Ohio. Senator, even at 29 days, Ohio is among the top 10 states for early voting, and they can also, and anyone can vote by mail. Is it really that big of a deal whether it's 36 days or 29 days or 35 days or 29 days?
It is a big deal. And I mean, as you noted earlier, a lot of the what happened in 2004, us making headlines for all the reasons, the estimates that over 170,000 people did not vote in 2004 because the lines were so long and people had to wait hour after hour after hour just to exercise their fundamental right. The legislature corrected that. I was not a member at the time, but it corrected that. And part of that correction was the 35 days. Why would we want to go backwards? We should be the gold standard in the nation when it comes to early voting. Yes, it is that bad. And taking away Golden Week, though, it's not just about folks being able to, it's not just about scaling back from 35 days to 29 or 28 days, depending on how the year falls. It really is about what can happen during the Golden Week period, where somebody can go in, they can register, they can vote, they can talk to the elections professionals, they can do everything that they need to do in one visit. It is about convenience for people, that working person who may not be able to get off their job, you know, between typical business hours. It is about an elderly person who may need to use that and may need some extra help. It is about a young person who may be voting for the very first time and who could use the extra guidance on how to navigate the process. Golden Week is a great opportunity for that. And for the life of me, why the Republicans in the legislature want to take that away, I don't understand.
Republicans last week criticized Democrats for not offering compromise proposals. I guess someone actually held up a poster in the chamber, or was it in the committee? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. That was in the committee. Now, that was in the House, so yeah. I heard the same thing, but I find it to be it's hard to believe that the Democrats in the House would not want to work on making elections bills better. I will tell you from my experience here in the Senate, especially those bills that go counter to the things that we hold near and dear to our hearts in terms of access to the ballot, the majority party has not given the Democrats, they don't come in and want to work this through. We see that they put these things in committee and the next thing we know that they're passing. So the majority party has not shown a willingness to want to work with the minority party when it comes to voting bills. And if there's anything that we would do in a bipartisan way, you would think that we would want to give all of the efforts and the energy necessary for us to work together, because access to the ballot box should not be a partisan issue.
We have an email from Peg Rosenfield from the League of Women Voters, and she wants to clarify something.
Okay.
She says early in-person voting, and I think it's something I've said, so early in-person voting has been allowed in Ohio since at least the 1970s. What changed more recently was removal of the requirement to state a reason for voting absentee, which opened up early voting to all voters and increased the number of voters who use this option.
So, okay.
Yep.
Thank her for that.
Yep. Thank you, Peg.
Yeah.
Republicans say that the absentee ballot restrictions will create uniformity in the state.
Well, and uniformity for governmental entities is not the same as access for the voter. And that is an important point. You know, the largest county in this state, which is Cuyahoga County, has about 100 times the population of the smallest state, the smallest county in this state. So uniformity, it sounds nice, it sounds fair, but when you look at what the practical implications of that is, it's not the same.
Lisa in Columbus, you're on the air with Ohio State Senator Nina Turner. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, I just had a question about, Ms. Turner brought up communal voting. Last I remember, it's an individual right and responsibility. Explain the communal voting concept and how it affects access. How is that an access issue, and how is voting communal?
Oh, thank you for that question. I really appreciate that. I was making that comment in reference to the souls to the polls and the fact that
which is a tradition.
Right, a tradition. And so what happens, not exclusively in the African-American community, but overwhelmingly in the African-American community, when you have that Sunday to go vote, folks will get on a bus or their carpool and they'll go down to the polling place and they will go vote. That's what I mean by communal. Absolutely, the individual goes into the ballot box and they vote individually, but to get there together, that is a communal process.
Why has that evolved into the tradition that it has, Senator Turner?
I think it has a lot to do with the history of African Americans in this country in general when it comes to access to the ballot. I mean, we know it was a hard-fought battle for African Americans to get the right to vote in this country in the first place, and for that matter, other folks as well, as we know that early on in our country's history, it was only land-owning white males who could vote, and then we had universal male suffrage, and then African American men, and then women. So we have... As a nation, we have progressed. We have made progress, and we should be proud to continue that progress. But in the African American community in particular, the battles that have had to be fought in this country over a long, long period of time, voting is something that is taken with that kind of responsibility, if you will. Everybody should have it, but African Americans in particular. And I can remember, you know, from being a little girl, my grandmother who was born in the South and her sharing some of her stories about how hard it was to vote. Her really instilling in me that it is your absolute obligation to vote because people died for this right. And so that is not exclusive to the African-American community, but it's something that is particular because of the African-American struggle in this country.
Thanks a lot, Lisa, for that call. Senator Turner, what do you think John Husted, Secretary of State John Husted, called the bills that are in the General Assembly right now, something like bright, shiny objects that are distracting people from what he thinks are the more important issues, including online voting?
Well, he certainly has the luxury to call them that, but the people who will be negatively impacted by these bills, what I call these bills are, they are unnecessary and overly restrictive. They will have a negative impact on voters in this state, the voting access in this state, and we should be working to expand and protect the right to vote and not entertain or pass bills that will do the opposite. So he is absolutely wrong about that. I hope the voters in this state understand this, that we have a process in this state that has been working since the debacle of 2004. Why would we want to go backwards? These bills, Senate Bill 205, Senate Bill 238, which I know for many of your listeners, those numbers mean nothing, but in terms of taking away Golden Week and in terms of making it more complicated for an absentee ballot, it is wrong. It is wrong. It is against our democracy to go backwards in the way that the GOP is doing it. And so it is his party that is doing this, so I'm not surprised that he agrees with what they're doing.
Carrie Davis of the League of Women Voters Ohio, how common is Golden Week around the country? Are there other states that have that kind of an opportunity to both register and vote on the same day?
Absolutely. There are a number of states that have, they call it same day registration or election day registration when the voter goes in to vote, and this can be during early voting or this can even be on election day, that voters can go in, they can file a voter registration, whether it's a new registration or updating an old one, and vote at the same time. It's hugely popular in states that have it. It was actually on the ballot in one of those states back in 2012, and voters overwhelmingly voted to keep it. So other states managed to do it successfully. Why can't we?
Mm-hmm. I agree, and especially our swing state prominence, and it just doesn't make any sense. And I want to give another example. You know, Cuyahoga County has been proactively mailing out absentee ballot applications for a long time,
right.
and they got into a fight with the Secretary of State when he talks about the fact that he mailed out in 2012 absentee ballot applications. What he's leaving out from that story is that he was forced to do it because he got into a fight with Cuyahoga County, who was determined to mail them out anyway. The Cuyahoga County executive was going to mail them out anyway, and there was an agreement struck between him and the county executive, and that is why the citizens of the great state of Ohio, the voters of the great state of Ohio, got an early absentee ballot application. It was not out of the goodwill of the current Secretary of State because he wanted all folks to have applications. It's because people had to fight for it. And, you know, and to vote in 2014, to vote in the 21st century should not be a fight. We should expand and protect the right to vote. And that is why Democrats and progressives and other people who really care about all people, because the greatest equalizer that we have is one woman, one man, one vote. It is the one place where we can be equal. So it does boggle my mind that members of the General Assembly on the Republican side continue to put forth bills that go, run counter to this great democracy of ours. It makes no sense. And they have yet to explain why these bills are necessary. They don't have the facts to back up why they believe these types of bills are necessary, other than to thwart certain groups of people's abilities to vote, and it's wrong.
Ohio State Senator Nina Turner from Cleveland, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Ann.
And Kerry Davis, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters Ohio, thanks for joining us, Kerry.
Thank you, Ann.
And thanks to you for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.